All right, everyone, we'll go ahead and get started.
Thanks so much for being here. I know it's kind of like a rainy afternoon, and I always feel like I just want to lay in bed and sleep when that happens. So thanks so much for coming out and braving the weather and being here. So my name is Ken DeMaul. I'm the Director of Innovation and Formation for St. John. So I oversee faith formation and sacraments. I'm going to be doing most of the presenting, but to open us in prayer, I'm going to toss things over to Gabrielle.
All right. And well, before I start in prayer, I'll introduce myself. My name is Gabrielle Clark. I had the privilege of working with Ken for two and a half mm-hmm. years, here at St. John, and then had a difficult pregnancy with our youngest. And so Christy Niederberger stepped in and took over, and she is on vacation. I hope she has better weather than what we're having now. So she's on vacation now, so I'm kind of stepping in just to kind of help answer any questions and help Ken out. But I actually have a daughter who will be in the First Holy Communion prep class this year, and a son who will be receiving confirmation as well. So not only am I helping from a church standpoint, I'm also gonna be in the weeds with you as a parent as well. So with that said, let's go ahead and start in prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Lord, we thank you for today, for the ability to come together as a church and to learn more about you. And we thank you for the gift of your sacraments, that we get to, with all of our senses, experience Christ present in all of them, especially in the gift of reconciliation and communion and being confirmed in our faith with your Spirit. And we ask that you open up our hearts as parents, grandparents, and children. We ask that you open our hearts to you and really embrace the gift of your sacraments this season and draw us closer to you and your love. And we ask all this in your name. Amen.
Amen.
Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Gabrielle.
Sure.
So we're obviously here today to talk about sacramental prep. We're going to focus on two particular sacraments. I'll dabble a little bit in some areas that might apply to some special cases. And if you need to talk a little bit more about that after the meeting, I'm happy to dialogue with you on that. It looks like everybody has it, but as you came in, you should have gotten a packet of information about the different sacraments. That has like a lot of helpful to remember information, like dates, how to register, and things like that. I'm just going to kind of give you the broad strokes and then answer any immediate questions that you might have about sacramental prep. And before getting into the meat of it, I always thought it's a good idea to pause and just ask this very, very basic question. Why do you want your child to receive a sacrament? And don't worry, you don't have to share that out loud, but I do think you should just spend a little bit of time and think about it. Why do you want to take this great step? And the reason that I ask that is because we live in an era where, you know, religion isn't something that everybody has to do. People consciously choose it. They consciously seek it out. And most of us are extremely busy people, right? I feel like my wife and I have what I call the what the heck is going on meeting every week, where we try to figure out who's getting the kids places, who's making dinner, all of that stuff. I know my kids go back to school on Wednesday, and for whatever reason, the county that they're in scheduled everyone's back to school night on the same night. So tomorrow night for me, it's gonna be 4 kids, 3 schools, 2 parents, and 1 night. Like, let's go, you know? And maybe that's how you live your life. So why are you choosing to add something else into the mix? Why are you choosing to seek a sacrament? And when I ask parents this question, I feel like I get a lot of great answers. Sometimes people will say it's because of the tradition. Like, my whole family's been Catholic. I want them to continue to seek that out. Other people will say, you know, I really want my child to get closer to God, and this is a wonderful way to do that. Other people are like, you know, it feels like it's the right time. It feels like it's good to go. Maybe your reason falls in there. Maybe it's something different. But whatever your reason is, I want you to hold that in your mind, and then I want to ask yourself another question. Is that all that you want? I picked this picture of, this is a picture of Peter and John. And it's supposed to be a depiction of them running from the empty tomb on Easter morning. And what I love about this image is if you unpack it, right? Jesus told them how many times he was going to die and rise from the dead, right? He told them a bunch of times. They saw him die, and then they saw the empty tomb, and their minds were absolutely blown. I don't think it really sunk into them what it meant that he was going to rise from the dead and what that was going to do. And I think this reveals a deep reality about who God is that whatever we ask him to do in our lives, he always wants to do more. Like, we're the ones that kind of limit God. And that's a natural thing because we're limited beings, right? We're mortal, we're human. We can't quite comprehend God in all of his glory, all of his majesty. I know in my own life, I tend to put God in a box sometimes. And he's not limited by what I think, but sometimes what I ask him to do. And I wanted to give you this image as we start talking about sacramental preparation. This is from Archbishop Laurie here, and I just briefly want to read this quote to you because this is the experience I'm hoping your family has when it comes to sacramental preparation at St. John's. At the heart of our faith is not a mere idea, however noble or inspired, but rather an encounter with Jesus Christ, our Savior. And by the word encounter, I do not mean merely a chance meeting or casual relationship, but something more akin to a meeting of minds and hearts. An encounter with Christ is that moment when, in the power of the Holy Spirit, we truly open our hearts to our Savior, understand the depth and the beauty of his love for us, and find ourselves forever changed and transformed by him. Another way to put it is that sacraments are God giving us the power of the star breather into our very bodies. Like that's powerful. Like, if you have a child who's receiving communion, think about this. When God created the stars, how did he do it in Genesis? He spoke them into being. When he gives us his body and blood, how does he do it? He speaks it into being. Like, that's like pretty incredible stuff right there. And when we approach the sacraments, we're literally saying, God, give me that power that you use to create the heavens. Like, let me receive that. And so what I'm hoping to inspire you to think is whatever reason is bringing you to receive the sacraments and seek them out, that's a wonderful reason. But don't just let it be limited at that. Dream a little bit bigger and maybe open yourself to the idea that God wants to give your family something bigger and something more than you're ever possibly imagining right now. And a very simple way to do that is just as you get ready to start, say a prayer. God, whatever you want for my family this time period, just let us be open to experience it. Right?
Figured I could be your button pusher.
Oh, thanks, button pusher. Appreciate that. Let's have the next slide. Okay. I want to talk, before we talk about, again, logistics, specifics, how to do it, I want to talk a little bit about sacraments. Because what I tend to find is that there are some assumptions around sacramental preparation. Maybe you've experienced some of these as you were growing up at one point in time, and maybe you even attended a sacramental prep meeting where you walked in and someone gave you a folder about this thick that had tons of colored papers at the front, and somebody like me with a name tag stood up front and said, okay, all of these papers are due at a very, very specific point in time, and if you don't do any of this stuff, you are not going to get this sacrament. Maybe that was your experience, maybe not. I know I've sat in on meetings like that before. And this can lead to an assumption that sacraments are all about requirements. It's all about jumping through these hoops, making sure you attend all of these sessions, making sure you turn in all these different forms of paperwork, making sure that you do all the random little dot the I's and cross the T's, or somebody's going to get you in trouble. I don't know who, but sometimes that's floated out there. What we have attempted to do at St. John's is boil our requirements down to make it as minimal as we possibly can. And that goes down to paperwork, but also sessions we are asking you to be here. Why? Well, you're all busy. We get that, right? I think the thing that like hurts my heart a lot is being very busy myself. The look on parents' faces when they're looking at the list of things we need them to do and looking at their calendars and saying, how am I going to do this, right? And I don't think we want to do our best to try to make that as little as possible.
Also, I think that keeps our minds focused on, like, what's the next thing I need to do, as opposed to how can I encounter God through this process. And so we want to try to make it as minimal as we can on you with stuff you have to do to give more space for the really good stuff, which is experiencing God, right? Parent role, right? I feel like in my time doing this, there are three main roles I see parents having. You're either the driver, the reminder, or the form signer. Okay, the driver, you've got to race your kid all around God's creation, get them to all the things, whatever the things are. You know, you've got to make sure that you're turning in all the random forms whenever we remind you to do them. And then you're also being that person that's signing the forms, making sure all that stuff is dotted and in by some predetermined time. Again, we are trying to minimize that as much as possible, because you probably have enough to do that in your regular day-to-day life, and church should be a little bit different. What we want to try our best is to put you in a role where you can really be focused on teaching your kids what it means to live out the Catholic faith. And don't worry, that doesn't involve, you know, more book work at home or something like that. But we're trying to create space and time to let you lean into that role. We have some tools that I think will really, really help you do that and do that well. But we're trying to eliminate that. Case in point, when you register, guess what? Pretty much 99.9% of your paperwork is done. That's pretty cool. So you only got to fill it out once, and then you're all set. You're good to go. Lastly, okay, I feel like I'm at war with this word. Your kids attend a class, right? I think sacramental prep kind of falls into that note of, like, this is a class. And for me, the word class does all kinds of, like, internal things to me that sets off all kinds of emotions. Because I think class kind of speaks to this idea that this is more of, like, a passive experience, right? There's somebody at the front of the room who'll do the talking. It's the person's job to sit there and listen. I think class can also speak to the idea that it's purely intellectual, what we're doing, right? We're talking only about knowledge about the faith. And case in point, we want sacramental prep to be experiential. We want it to be hands-on. I mean, God gave us the sacraments as physical things that we can touch, that we can taste, that we can see, that we can smell. And that's intentional, because that's who we are as people. That's how we learn. And so we've tried to make our process as interactive and as hands-on as possible. We also want to do more than just form the mind. Like, yes, there will be knowledge as part of this. But a big part of sacramental prep, I really think, is human formation. It means learning, what does it mean to live and work as a disciple? And that's so much more than just being able to rattle off some facts about our faith.
And I wanted to add something Please. To that, too. So, you know, kids attend a class. You know, when our kids attend school or some other class, or even as adults when we listen to TED Talks or whatever, we kind of assume that that teacher is the professional. That, you know, oh, you know, my kids, and I've had experience where, you know, I've taught the sacramental prep here at St. John, and a lot of people, you know, would drop their kids off and be like, all right, see you later, you know, Miss Gabrielle is going to talk to you about this, and then, I know, they ask, what did you learn? Well, I'm a mom that loves our faith, that I've learned a lot about it, but I am nobody special. I don't have a ton of degrees that, you know, I am not, you know, this person that really has a ton of a long list of qualifications. And that's what I think, like, when we send our kids to a class, we're almost assuming that, like, that person is gonna teach them more than I can. But that person's not going to mass with my children. They're not saying bedtime prayers with my children. They're not setting that example that my kids see every day. And that's kind of why we don't want this parent role to be driver, reminder, form signer, and that we send our kids off for someone else to teach them about the sacraments. Because ultimately, by virtue of your baptism, you are the best teacher for this. And you might say, well, like, I don't know what to teach my kids about this, and, you know, we're gonna see that you have four retreats, and what else am I supposed to do? And we can help you. But you don't have to have all these degrees and qualifications either to teach your children what they need to know about these beautiful sacraments. And really, we know that our kids pick up on everything. You're like, where did you hear that? And you're like, well, Dad said it. Or, you know, you do it. it's like, oh my gosh, they're watching constantly, right? And so by living our faith, they really learn more than they will at a class that we could teach them for 45 minutes. So that's part of the reason why, you know, yes, we have something, but, you know, it's kind of intimidating to think, oh my gosh, most of your child's learning about these sacraments is going to come through you and your family life. So,
amen.
Yeah.
And Gabrielle touched on this beautifully, right? We're really trying to, at St. John's, rethink how sacramental prep is going. We really want to be focused on this idea that what we're hoping to help you do is see spiritual growth in your child, right? And that looks more than just finishing a couple of worksheets or creating a couple of projects. But we're hoping that through this process, you can see your child grow at home in terms of how they pray, how they understand the faith, how they witness the faith. Now, granted, this is not going to be like, you know, teaching your kid to kick a soccer ball. At the beginning of the process, they can't kick the ball. And at the end of the process, they're going to be able to score a goal or something like that, right? Unfortunately, faith is not as linear as some physical skills that we can pick up. But we can definitely give you some great tools, some great benchmarks, and really help you drive that point home. We talked a lot about parent involvement, hands-on learning, spiritual readiness. Something we really want you to think as you start this process is I feel like people sometimes approach the sacraments as like they're getting on a roller coaster. And once you get on the roller coaster, you're on until the end of the process, right? No matter how many ups, downs, loop-de-loops, or whatever you're on, okay? That is not how the church views sacramental preparation. Really, what sacramental preparation is asking you is, do you feel ready to commit to this way of life? Most of the people who start the process feel like they are at the end. But if you're getting to that point where you're not 100% sure, that is A-okay to say, you know what? We need to wait a while. Nothing is wrong with that. I have 5 kids, 3 of whom have received sacraments beyond baptism. 2 of them are ready to go when the time came. The 3rd one needed a little bit of extra time to think things through. It was not that he had any kind of deficiencies. It's just he needed some time to better understand the truths of the faith. That's okay. Every kid is unique,
and that's,
right?
We almost, it's, that, like, that's not even just okay, but that I think is something for parents and someone who's been in this teaching role. It's like, we almost prefer that. You know, it's kind of like, like redshirting, you know, for sports and things like that, where it's, you know, and we know that as adults that faith is a journey. And I've had so many parents who have emailed me and say, like, well, you know, are they behind? They missed the sacrament. There is no behind when it comes to faith and learning, you know, about it. And, you know, that's why we have these age ranges for sacramental prep instead of like, okay, oh, you're in 2nd grade. Well, now it's automatic. Well, you know, I'm sure some children we've seen that have come to 2nd grade and they might need more time. Or we have kids who are younger that are like, I know that's Jesus and I want him. And that's something that you can talk to your priest and your bishop about. But that's why we have this age range, because it is about, you know, this formation and readiness. It's not, you know, whether or not you've earned it or you've reached this milestone. It's, you know, it kind of comes back to that question, Ken, you asked of like, why do you want your child to receive that sacrament? You know, we hope that the answer is more than just like, well, they're 8 and this is what we'll do. And it's kind of nice as parents that we get to kind of help determine or kind of gauge that readiness for our children.
If that sounds scary, we'll help you do it, okay? All right, so I'm going to talk a little bit now that we've kind of laid the groundwork. That's kind of the ecosystem that we operate in, right? I'll talk a little bit about the programs that we offer. So we have 2 that we're going to talk about, but there are a few more than that. So the first one is Oxygen. Oops, sorry, that slide's wrong. It's not 2 single-day retreats. It's 4 micro-retreats designed to help children 7 to 10 receive First Holy Communion and First Reconciliation. Yeah, we changed that. Sorry, I didn't catch that. So Fire Fellowship, this is our confirmation program for 9-year-olds, but if you do have older kids, 10, 11, and 12, we can put them in there for that one. If you have other needs, right? If you have a child that is in need of baptism, We have a program for that. If you have a child older than 12 that needs to be confirmed, we have a program for that, right? I'm going to talk about these two, so don't feel like just because we're talking about these ages, like Gabrielle was saying, you're behind or did something wrong. I mean, I received Eucharist and confirmation when I was 21, okay? So, like, I don't think any of your kids are that old yet. Maybe they are, but, you know, even then, you know, you're not behind. God has us all at the time when he wants us to be there. So I'm going to talk a little bit about oxygen, which is our prep process for First Holy Communion. I'm not going to get a ton into dates and times. All of that stuff is in your handout, just because I feel like I like to leave meetings with a piece of paper so I can plug stuff into my calendar. But basically, we offer two tracks, a fall track and a spring track. And so the way that looks is our fall track starts September 27th, and then your child will receive First Holy Communion by November 15th. The spring track starts, I forget when, it's sometime in January, I'm sorry.
The
30th. 30th, thank you. I'm glad, I was going to say a different date, so I'm glad I didn't say that. So January 30th, and then you receive First Holy Communion by April 25th. I put them up there. That was helpful. Wow, I should have thought about that. Okay, so you've got the sacraments that are up there. And then kind of what we're doing at these different retreats is we try to give age-appropriate content. A lot of stuff at these retreats will be done together, the parent and the child together. That's an essential part of this. But we also give different age-specific options as well. We've been really lucky the past couple of years to have some really dynamic speakers come in to speak to our parents about stuff that has been very well received. And we also like to do some fun kind of age-appropriate stuff with the kids. But most of the content will be done together with the parent and the child there as well. Is there anything you'd like to add about oxygen?
I think the only thing that I want to make sure that people understand is that, so we have like Sunday, April 25th is when we celebrate at the Sunday Masses. We're not having like special First Holy Communion Masses because communion, not only are we going to be in communion with Christ, receiving him in the Eucharist, but in communion with one another as Catholics. So that is why we do no longer have like a special Holy Communion Mass, because we get to celebrate our first communicants together as a church community. So that is a Sunday. But for whatever reason, if you're like, well, we already have this planned and we're going to be out of town on November 15th or the 25th, your child can receive their First Holy Communion at another place. So that's, you know, not going to be the only date. If you would email Ken or Christy and work it out with them, that is possible. But yeah, so those are Sundays, and we do receive them Sundays with the rest of the church present, so we can celebrate our children together. And I think that's the only thing I would add there.
Okay, sweet. I'll have some time at the end for questions, but I'll jump on to our next process. Before I talk about confirmation, you might have been aware that confirmation previous to this year was done at different ages. It's even done different ages throughout the entire United States. Don't worry, I'm not going to read you everything on this slide. I more just wanted to put this up here to kind of show that the age of confirmation has dramatically shifted throughout the time of the church. In fact, confirmation being done later was actually a relatively modern invention. It's only been done in the teen years for about 100 years. And here in Baltimore, it's only been since 1976 that it was set between the 8th and 10th grade years. And the reason I put that up there is just to say that I think sometimes we experience something and we think this is how it's always been. And even within the church with a very long history, things have kind of shifted around a bit. So that's one of the reasons it's moved a little bit younger. So let me talk about our Fire Fellowship program. So we will offer two sessions this year for Fire Fellowship. A Sunday session, which meets 3:30 to 5:30, and a Monday session that meets 5:30 to 7:30. We're going to ask you to do that five times. It starts in October. We'll take December off, and then your kids will get confirmed in May. We do have a day retreat at the O'Dwyer Retreat Center. which is going to be April 11th. We'd ask you if you could please carpool there. I'm anticipating we'll have about 90 candidates this year, and we don't have room for 90 cars at the facility. So if you could try to collapse with people you know for that particular day, that would be great. And then our confirmation rehearsal is May 4th, and our confirmation mass is going to be May 6th. Here are some tools that we're going to give you to use at home, because hopefully you've picked up on the fact that we believe very strongly the best and really where the most formation happens is in your home. What you're also going to notice about these tools is this isn't homework, okay? Like, you're not going to have to come in and document that you did a bunch of stuff. These are things that we genuinely believe will help you Catholic a little bit, or parent your kids a little bit more Catholic at home. The first one I really want to push is Hallow. Hallow, if you're not familiar with it, is the number one prayer app in the world. What's great about it is, a lot of things. I use the app myself pretty much every day, but by going through our sacramental prep processes, you get a premium account for Hallow as part of the process. They've kind of made a name for themselves. You might have seen them on like ads for it on YouTube or Facebook and stuff, because they've partnered with some like really big names to do prayer challenges. So like, you could log onto the app and pray the rosary with Mark Wahlberg if you wanted to.
Especially like to speed through your rosary.
Yeah,
Mark Wahlberg's like the fastest rosary guy on the app.
He's really quick. They have, they've had Star-Lord himself, Chris Pratt. He's been on there a lot. They had, somebody here is more of a sports person than me. Who's the really great quarterback from Indiana that did all the things, number one draft pick? Who?
Fernando,
yeah. Fernando, he's been on there doing some stuff. He's a rock solid Catholic. They had Mario Lopez from Saved by the Bell, Gwen Stefani from No Doubt, Jonathan Rumi from The Chosen. There's all kinds of big names in this, which is kind of neat, offering their perspective on faith. But to really try to explain like what kind of content Hallow has, it has different forms of reflection, all different kinds of ways you can interact with. They do regularly seasoned challenges. The part that would probably be best for you guys is they have one part of it called Family Mass Prep, which is like a short little podcast to help your kids get ready for Mass on Sundays.
They do have sacrament-specific content as well. I used to use that when we had classroom things. So they do have, you know, First Holy Communion prep information on there. Our kids love to listen to, like, there's a story of creation bedtime story that's really well done. They have I guess that saint, and our kids love to, you know, play along with there. So it's a really great thing for both parents and kids to have. They have a whole bunch of family content, and specifically I've had some of our classes listen to the sacramental prep content on there, which they have both for reconciliation, Holy Communion, and confirmation. They have all of that type of stuff on there. So it's great for not only like prayers, but also their kid content's really good.
Amen.
Too.
Hallow just announced, I think it's cool, they're always trying to grow, is that they're going to do a diocesan week, and we're a part of that. And so Archbishop Lori is going to be featured on Hallow, which is going to be kind of cool. Yeah, they just emailed me about it on Friday. And again, I'm not trying to be the Hallow salesman here, I swear I'm not, but I just did a meeting with them on Thursday, and we were going over our app's metrics. And what's really amazing is they can see not necessarily who's using it, but people in our parish on average use Hallow about 5 times a week, and about a third of our parish is regularly using it. In fact, they told us that in the 2 years our parish has been partnered with Hallow, we're almost at 3 million prayers said on the app, which I think is incredible. So I think a lot of people in our parish are getting benefit from it, and you get it for free. So once you register, a link will be sent to you. You just have to click it and sign up, and you'll be good to go. We're going to give you, for both sacramental prep processes, like a spiritual growth tool. This is kind of based, it's a little bit different for both programs, but the idea is to try to help you recognize a little bit about your kid's personality and see maybe where are the areas that they need to grow spiritually and what are some key action steps you could take to try to do that. Something for our sponsors, for confirmation, we've designed an online sponsor prep process. It's not required. I highly encourage you to do it. People who have done it have really benefited from it, but it really guides the sponsors towards planning a pilgrimage experience for their candidates. And like I said, it's online, so if your sponsor lives in California or something like that, they can still take part in it and have a great time. And then lastly, something for parents. Again, you don't have to do this, but I would encourage you to do this, is that I think some of the times when it's about sharing God with our children, it can be a little difficult to know where to start. So we've created a resource that we call Basecamp, which is really an interactive prayer journal to help you look at where are some times that God may or may not have spoken to you in your life, and then sharing one or two of those moments with your children. Because some of the times, what's crazy about this, one of the reasons I pushed this is I did something similar when I was in grad school. And I tend to be very resistive as a person to interactive journaling. And I was like, this is lame. It's not going to teach me anything. And then I did it. And I was like blown away by the things that I discovered through this process of my relationship with God. So that's there. That's something that would be beneficial for your family.
Ready,
yeah. Next one. All right. Something else I really want to encourage you to think about is this year at St. John, we're launching a process called Waypoints. This is formation for adults. Now, you're not required to do this as part of sacramental prep, but I think what is something that always amazes me is the number of people who come to me and say, I really am not sure what to do in my faith. I'm not sure how to know, how to grow, things like that. And so this is kind of an answer to that. We're starting off with four key things this fall, and then we'll add some additional ones in the winter and the spring, but not to overwhelm you with too much stuff. So the four that we're doing right now, St. Michael's Lent, this is for the gentlemen. If you like tough challenges, this is definitely for you. It kind of combines some asceticism, fasting with physical exercise, and fraternity with the men. Definitely not an easy start, but you know, some guys like a challenge. Holy Chemistry, we're doing four date nights for married couples. We're looking at what are the four classic temperaments and how can you better communicate. We'll also serve you wine and appetizers and make it like a little fun date night experience. Jesus, the Way, the Truth, and the Life, that is your traditional Bible study. But what we're really going to be digging into is the cultural context behind Scripture. This one's led by Jeff Cavins through video series. He's not coming here to St. John, but that'll be like a weekly Bible study. And then lastly, if you're familiar with Dave Ramsey and his Financial Peace University, Dave is a Christian, but this class is a very practical one. It's how do we crush debt? How do we handle money God's way and learn to develop a budget? Things like that. This class was very helpful for my family. And so those are the four things that we are offering in the fall.
Do you want to mention that this is also not necessary?
Thank you. Let me go to the next slide and I'll bring up
Okay. Sarah.
And while she's walking up, I'll talk a little bit about some of our faith formation options. One thing that makes St. John's very different than many Catholic churches in the Archdiocese of Baltimore is we do not require faith formation in order to do sacramental prep. We believe sacraments are sacraments and formation is formation, but we encourage you to do it if you're able to fit it in because we think they're great experiences and great programs. So the one I wanted to touch on for our elementary school students is called Odyssey. You may have gotten the schedule on the way back. Really what Odyssey is it's hands-on learning at its best. We've actually tried talking to churches around, and we've only found a handful of churches in the whole country that are trying to do what we are trying to do. It's really kind of like cutting-edge stuff, but the idea is the kids come in, we do some sort of interactive music with them, we tell them an interactive Bible story, they have stations where they can hands-on learn about the faith, and small group discussions. So we're really trying to make it something very different. It's not the classroom CCD model. I asked our youth minister, Sarah, if she could come and just briefly talk about middle school and high school youth ministry. Even if you don't have a kid who's of age to do this, I still think people tend to get to the end of the sacraments, they get fired up and they're like, what's next? And so that's kind of like where faith formation comes in. So Sarah, please go ahead.
Hi everybody, my name is Sarah. I'm the youth minister here at St. John's, so I do middle school, high school, and young adult ministry. I've just completed my first year of being a youth minister, so now this year's going to go a lot smoother because I know what I'm doing, hopefully. But yes, Ken just talked about, so Odyssey is our elementary school ministry, so I don't do Odyssey, but I work on the middle school and high school Edge and Life team. So if you guys saw in the back, we have our fall calendars out right now. I just finished planning those, so a lot of exciting things coming up. For our middle schoolers on October 1st, and for our high schoolers on September 27th, we have our fall kickoff nights. So those are going to involve some messy games with shaving cream and a slip and slide and lots of fun stuff. And then also adoration. So kind of the goal of these nights are a lot of fellowship and fun. Our kids are able to develop, you know, friendships with one another and really build community with each other because we're meeting almost every week. But at the same time, we're giving them a lot of formation and prayer. So our nights a lot of the time look like, you know, you're gathering together, getting some food, playing a game. Then you're going to hear some kind of teaching and then have a small group. That's how our typical nights go. Sometimes things get changed up. Throughout the year, we're going to have some retreats going on. We go to Mount 2000, if any of you ever went to that or have heard of that before, which is in February. We just did Damascus Summer Camp this summer, and we're working on developing a retreat called Teen Acts. So we're working with another parish right now to bring that to our parish. So I just brought a group of our high school teens on that retreat, and they loved it. One of them even wrote me a handwritten letter and sent it to me in the mail about how much she loved it. And I was like, whoa, if a high schooler is writing you a handwritten letter to tell you how much they love something, it must have been pretty good. So yeah, so many exciting things coming up. I would love to meet your teens, your middle schoolers, high schoolers, or if you know any middle schoolers or high schoolers, to encourage them to come. It's a lot of fun, but also they're getting really great formation. So thank you.
Good. Thank you, Sarah. All right, throwing a lot of information at you, a lot of information. And I want to leave some time for questions, or you can leave a meeting early, which is always a nice surprise, right? So to kind of end, right, like we hit you with a ton of dates, ton of stuff. What I really, really wanted you to take away is whatever your experience is with sacramental prep this year, I want you to just really be intentional about your Catholic faith. Like, really lean in. Don't just do, you know, kind of the bare minimum of, okay, we're checking the boxes here, right? Like, we're moving this way. Like, really lean into that idea and try to ask that question. Like, what does God want to give my family? Because I think what has really been encouragement for us as we do this, because I don't think this approach is very common, even in our archdiocese. Like, there's still some very differences in how we do sacramental prep. But I feel like the Lord has really been confirming to us that this is the direction that we want to go in. I know I'll share kind of a couple of stories, and then I'll toss it to Gabrielle to share a story. But I think for me, something that's been really, really incredible is watching how parents respond to this process. So when we do the reconciliation retreat experience, we offer parents the chance to actually go to confession on that retreat while the kids are praying. And they see you and stuff like that. And it's certainly not required. Okay, we don't line you up and make you go or anything like that. But we really do encourage. And what has always amazed me, in the first year we did this, I was like, I don't know what's going to happen. And like the line was out the door. And Father Mark came to me afterwards, and he said to me, he goes, what did you tell those people? And I was like, I told them that Jesus loved them and he wanted to heal them. And he was like, Ken, he's like, I have not had confessions like that in a really long time, like in a really good way. And that has been a constant thing for us, is that as we do this process, like I've had parents come up to me, literally move to tears, being like, I never knew God loved me as much as he did. And it's been such an incredible experience. Like when we do our fire fellowship experience in our last small group session, I always kind of ask the parents, like, you know, what are you taking away from this? And I remember one mom in the spring shared, she goes, you know, she's like, when we started, like, faith was important, but it wasn't the most important thing in our life. And, you know, we tried to lean in. We were trying to do a couple of things. She's like, and then we ended up losing somebody really close in our family. And it's like everything kind of hit the fan at the same time. And I couldn't believe how much I was able to lean on God. And it wasn't because of, like, she came to this program, but it's just she was trying to be intentional and walk with the Lord on in her daily life. And that's something, like, deep down, that's something I want for every family that comes through St. John. You want to share a little bit, Gabrielle, about how you're intentional?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, no, it's funny because, Ken, we always joke that I'm such a crier and talking about the sacraments. Like, I haven't even spoken about, you know, and it's like I'm already feeling so emotional because it just, it's, especially if you have not yet had a child receive their sacraments. Our eldest received his first Holy Communion, I guess it was last fall. And what's really stood out to me is the number of times that he has said to me, Mom, can we go to confession this weekend? And I'm like, I don't know if I ever asked my parents to go to confession. And I was gonna say the unique challenge, but really in talking to people, I realized that it's not so unique. I'm the only Catholic parent that my children have, or that our children have. You know, my husband, God love him, is a wonderful husband and father, but he, I'd say, is, he'd probably describe himself as being agnostic. He comes to Mass with us, is very supportive of what I do with the kids, but our children do not have a father that is saying, okay, come on, let's family rosary night. You know, I'm doing all that teaching, and so I really do have to be very intentional. If you were here long enough to know Father Andrew, when he was the associate pastor here, I had just had our second child and, you know, hormones and everything. And I remember scheduling a meeting with him and I was like, Father Andrew, I just feel all this weight because, you know, I'm the only Catholic parent and I want to help my kids get to heaven. And he's like, nice to meet you, you know, and it really, being intentional really has blessed us in so many ways. And that is making sure that, you know, sometimes we say our bedtime prayers right after dinner because I get tired after trying to put three kids to bed. And then my Lucy reminds me, Mom, are we not going to say bedtime prayers? I'm like, yes, let's do the short version tonight. But, you know, picture books are really helpful. I have lots of recommendations. I was an elementary school teacher in a past life, so I have lots of picture book recommendations if you need them. Something I learned from actually one of our other sacramental prep families that has been so wonderful is adding... oh my gosh, my brain is just firing in a mile a minute. Confession, when the priest says, no, make your act of contrition. Okay, that's the word. Act of contrition. We started praying our act of contrition before we start our bedtime prayers. So we've added that to our bedtime prayers. And that's another thing that kids are like, I don't know my act of contrition. Well, first of all, it's in the confessional. You can take books in with you if you need to do that. But it really has been helpful for us because it helps our kids, okay, at the end of the day, Let's look at your day. So adding an act of contrition to bedtime prayers has been really helpful. Hallow has, if they call it, the 3-2-1 prayer. Three things you're thankful for. I think it's like maybe two people you want to pray for and then like one thing you're sorry for. And it helps kids kind of get in that habit of an examine and looking at their actions and things like that. Being intentional is just so important. I found that has helped me as a cradle Catholic who didn't really, you know, we went to Mass every Sunday, we said bedtime prayers when I was little, but then that was kind of it. And it really, as an adult, I've discovered how beautiful our faith is. But living more liturgically, I think, has really been beneficial for our family. We started doing Sundays on Sunday. So, you know, we celebrate the Lord's Day with ice cream. We also celebrate with ice cream after confession every time because we're like, your soul is clean and shiny. It's definitely worth an ice cream. So teaching our kids that, like, our faith is fun. I feel like a lot of us might have grown up with being like, okay, we go to Mass, say the rosary, you know, being super Catholic is like something that like maybe our grandparents did. And something I really wanted our children to know is that being Catholic is a joy. And so that's, just seeing your kids live, your children watching you live your faith is really, is the best thing for them, especially when it comes to sacramental prep years, so.
Amen.
Yeah.
Well, I'll go ahead and close us out in prayer. And then if you have questions, we're happy to talk. And let me just say, if you need anything going forward, please feel free to... Oh, wait, sorry. What I did want to say one more thing before closing in prayer. Just kind of the quick timeline here. So we are doing a slightly tighter registration this year than we have done in the past. We're going to cut registration off on September 9th. The reason that we're doing that, and in all honesty, about 60% of people we've noticed register for sacraments about 6 hours before the sacramental registration deadline closes. So you guys will probably do it bright and early because you're here at the meeting, right? So we wanted to try to encourage people to register faster so we can answer questions and sort out problems faster. But that's kind of the big takeaway. And I always like to do a plug. Is that if you know anybody that needs this information, please share with them, because sometimes in the summer, sometimes with back to school stuff, there's a lot of stuff flying around, and it's hard sometimes to be able to process and understand everything that is happening at once. So with that, let's go ahead and close with the glory be. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, amen. Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now and ever shall be, world without end, amen. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. God bless you and have a great evening.